Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Fear of God, with the lesson titled, Fear of God, Sin and Evil. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Good morning, good afternoon, people. It was afternoon this time last week, but we got to act like it's morning yet. See how that works for us, and better than 6 months ago, that's right, most definitely. Did anybody read the verse of the day on our Bible app this morning? Okay, good. You didn't see the verse? Okay. Well, I'm going to show it to you because it was in my sermon this morning. You never know. I want to share with you the predicament I'm in. I'm going to make this about me. I'm standing before you, and I want to bring you a good word, something that'll help everybody in here. I'm under the ideas we're all come here today. We all came hoping to receive something from the Lord. And so that puts me in a tight spot, puts me into a situation that I've got to really seek the Lord and see if I've got a word for you from the Lord. And that's because truthfully, I don't want anybody to go away disappointed. Nobody does that stands up here. You don't want anybody to go away disappointed. I want you to go away feeling full of the Word of God. Greatest hope is that you'll be glad and you could say, I'm glad I came to the house of the Lord on Sunday. We like for you to feel like it's something that feels good and something that you'll long to come back to and be fed. And so, and then I've got this situation where I've got to say what I feel like the Lord wants me to say. And I say, well, Lord, what if they don't like it? And so I'm in a tight spot. And so I want people to get what they need and to hear the word of the Lord. But then I've got the Lord, and I'm under this idea that I need to bring what he brought. And I wasn't too sure if I had I felt like I did, wasn't sure. But this morning, the title, I'm going to start a little series called The Fear of God. And I was needing a confirmation from the Lord. And this is your verse, I think. No, this isn't. This is the next one here. Let me get the next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 should be your verse for today on the Bible app for New Life. This is the verse that you should be reminded to read. So we'll just read it together. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Now that's what I'm teaching on this morning. So when I got up and the Bible app shoots out that, I thought, okay, Lord, I think that's a yes. So here's where it leaves me. I hope my message suits you, but I'm convinced it's going to suit the Lord. So now you're in a tight spot.
That's
right. So I just shifted my tight spot. Now here's my next slide. I had them reversed, but the title of this series is The Fear of God. Now y'all test what I say. I think what I'm trying to share with you is biblical. We're living in a day that it's hard to distinguish between a truth and a lie. It's just hard to distinguish. And we can say we know and we don't know. And it's just so much out there today. We're in this place. But here in Exodus, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you or to test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." Okay. So here we find that a lot of this stuff is happening. God's allowing it to happen. That word prove means test. Same thing. It's to test us. A lot of this is happening that we're seeing that we think's terrible, and it is. But it's to test us to see if we fear God. Or do we just say, that's not going to hurt, just let it go? Well, what keeps us from saying, no, I can't let that go? It's called the fear of God. Now, how does the fear of God, if you don't have any of the fear of God, you don't believe in God. There you go.
Amen.
You're welcome. The Lord wanted me to say that. I hope you're in a tight spot. I'm just checking. So I want to bring a message today on the fear of God, on good and evil. I want to try to help us in discernment. How can I discern if it's God or if it's not? That's the goal here. So let me get on with it. That's the one I just had backwards. I just did. So I'm going to call this teaching, the first one in this series of the fear of God, is I showed you where God's going to allow things to happen to test you. And the test is if the fear of God causes you to not sin. So if you want to know if you're having a problem with sin in your life or a particular sin in your life, it's because you're not fearing God. Because when we truly fear God, it keeps us to not sin. I'm helping you here not to sin. Somebody say amen. Help me out just a little. I'm helping you here not to sin. So you mean, how do I not sin? You fear God. Well, I'm having trouble to sin. Well, you're not fearing God. All right, keep this in mind. Sin and evil are not the same thing. Now, we think when we hear the word evil and sin, we think it's the same thing. But now, test what I'm saying. I might stretch us here just a little bit. Sin is not always evil, but evil is always sin. Do you see that? Now, here's what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to show us and to lead us how our discernment can become sharper, how we can know what we're looking at. We can make a decision on what we're looking at. Now, in the first thing we got to look at, sin is not always evil. So every time you sin, it doesn't mean it's evil. I hope everybody's okay with the fact that we're still sinning a little bit. And we're going to sin until we meet Him. But not all sin's evil. But all evil is sin. Now, watch this thing. It's in Matthew 16. When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky's red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky's red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? He said, you can tell what the weather is, but you're not discerning the spiritual weather correctly. So he says, now there's things of the signs of the times that's going to give you a spiritual weather report. And what's being said here is you're good at one thing and you're terrible at another. Now, let's go on here quickly. The Greek word for sin is never used for the word evil. The distinction we're trying to make. Sin and evil are two different things. Sin's not always evil, but evil's always sin. It's not the same word, even. The Greek word for sin in the Bible is harmateia. This means missing the mark. Sin means we're basically missing the mark. We're not hitting the mark that God wants us to hit. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses harmateia to describe sin as a force of fallen man that compels. Sin is missing the mark, but it's a force of fallen man which compels us. I'm trying to give us some definitions right now. We're just doing definitions. Why do we do definitions? Is so that we'll make a distinction. I'm under the persuasion that most Christians believe sin and evil is the same thing. But in discernment, it's important that you can tell the difference in sin and evil, even though evil is always sin. But we can. Now let's watch it here. And it's important. Sin is saying something you should not say or doing something you should not do. All right? It's the should nots. That's what sin is. It's what we should not do. The result is sin tends to hurt you. When we sin, and I can hear, don't go to extremes on me. Just follow me. Follow me here. Don't go to extremes to cancel out what I'm trying to teach you. I said this morning, somebody that knows everything, you can't teach them anything. I'm hoping I can teach you this morning. Now, watch it. Here we go. The Greek word for evil is not the same for sin. There are multiple Greek words in the Bible that translates to evil or wicked, and they imply to bring injury or harm to someone. So if I want to harm someone, if I sin and I harm someone, the Bible calls that evil. Now, I can sin, I can say a curse word, or I can do this, or I can do something, or I can do something that's sin, it hurts me. Example, I can say a curse word. I can say one in the pulpit, and it would hurt my reputation with you, right? It hurts me. It didn't hurt you. It hurt me. But if I do something and my intention is to hurt you, it's evil. Now, you got to make the distinction. Why is abortion evil? Because we're hurting someone, right? All right, now go with me. Don't go too fast. Go with me. I want us to leave from here and be able to say, okay, that's good. That's sin, and that's evil. Now, I'm going to burst a bubble on this one. Not all sin is the same. I've heard it preached and I've heard it said, but the Bible's not going to own up to that one. All sin's just not the same. It takes the same blood of Christ to cover all of it, but it's just not the same. Kind of wish it was, but it's not. Now, there's the word. Wicked and apply the injury to or harm to someone. Now, here's the word, poneros. This word appears in the Gospel of Matthew and has a negative connotation. It comes from the root concept of being oppressed, where I'm going to oppress somebody. All right, here's the other word, carcass. This word appears in the Bible 51 times, and it has multiple meanings, including bad nature, wrong, or wicked, or causing harm. So I want you to start making the distinction between sin and evil. Sin is against me, but evil is a harm. I want to harm somebody else. That's considered evil in the Scriptures. Now, diablos is also used as a Spanish term. This word is used in the Septuagint to translate the Hebrew, word ha, Satan, in Job and Zechariah. It is also used in the Greek New Testament and is origin of the English word for devil. So that's the other word that's used. Now, to sin against yourself or to harm others. The word sin means to miss the mark, but evil means you are missing the mark with the intent to harm others. Can you see that? So let me say this. There is not a reason in this Bible that a Christian should want to harm another person. We're not given permission to harm another person. I know everybody, well, if somebody breaks into my family, I'm going to shoot them. Don't go to the extremes on here. Hear what I'm trying to say. We got a lot of stuff other than somebody breaking in your house. Okay? We'll get to that if I exhaust this other. There's more ways to harm people than shooting them. Now, what the Scriptures is trying to show us is the intentions of our heart. I'm just going to say to you, get to the bottom line real quick, that the Bible doesn't give you permission to harm anybody with your mouth, with your fist, with whatever. That's not what God saved us for. That's the reason he tells us not to judge each other. It's not our job description. Our job description is what? Restitution. To restore. You know what? We're pretty good at that. If we really put our minds to it, we can restore pretty good. Repair. Help. We don't sin well. Has anybody noticed it? We're not very good at it. Matter of fact, we fail every time we do it. That's the Bible. In the Bible, the phrase flaming arrows of the wicked one is used in Ephesians 6 to describe the devil's attacks. The arrows are a metaphor for the temptation that Satan uses to lure people into sin. These temptations can take many forms, including, I'm going to show you, flaming arrows that it's speaking of here is trafficking communications. In other words, I can harm you by speaking it forth. That's a type of harm. I'm wishing you harm. You can say, well, I want to tell somebody, and it's the truth. Okay, it's the truth. But will you speak in that truth cause this other person harm? Or the person you're talking about? It's true, but is it going to harm that person if you spread it? That's evil. Well, I thought I could. That's evil. I've heard people tell I could spit. I hope that one wasn't evil. But I've heard them say, well, we need to expose everybody's sin. I can show you in Scriptures where that's evil. Your job is not to expose everybody's sin. Your job is to get everybody's sin to the cross. That's your job. Get everybody's sin to the cross. These temptations will include fear, greed, lust, anger, disobedience, doubt, impure thoughts, hatred. All of that is sin. Okay? That doesn't have to be evil. Now, unconfessed sin will lead to evil. That's the reason not all sin's evil, but all evil's sin. So evil is the progression of an unconfessed sin. You're kidding. Do you mean that a believer can be an active participant in evil? I'm here to bring the suggestion that I believe that the church is in more evil doing than we know, therefore hurting our ability to have the anointing within the body of Christ. And I think it's because of our lack of discernment. Of what does evil look like? Now let's watch it. I'm going to move quickly here. These actions are sin, but can lead us into evil. So it's very important now that you realize sin in your life can progress into an evil action. I'm going to hit a couple of those here. Ephesians 6:16 says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. You see that? So though I gave you a list of some of the darts, fear, greed, lust, anger, disobedience. It says have the shield of faith, and it can shield you from the evil one. Now we're going to jump into this one a little more. The goal of the evil one is for our sin to progress to a point of hurting others. Satan's greatest work is when we join him and help him. That's not for anybody in here, is it? Help us, Lord. What we need to understand, when you're hurting others, we're joining the enemy. we're helping him. This thing about hurting others is just not a fleeting idea. Now there again, let's watch it. When does sin turn into evil? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. You sin when you look at pornography, but when you work for the company that produces the pornography, it's evil. Does that make sense? If you look at pornography, that's sin. That's not evil to look at pornography, but it's sin. That doesn't lessen it. It's just not evil. But it's evil if you look at pornography and then pass it to somebody else. You just did an evil act. Or in any other sin that you want to go to. I know I'm nitpicking here, but we got to nitpick so we can discern. Are you with me? Now watch it. Why? Because it causes injury to somebody else. And I hope you're catching on to this idea that God doesn't want us to injure other people. We are to be an agent of helping hurting people. For some reason, we believe we can, as long as we help more than we hurt, that we're of God. And the bad part about standing up here, you know I'm talking about me first. So I'm exposed, okay? I'm exposed. You have joined a system or union with others to harm someone. Now here we're going to expand it just a little more. You have joined what? A system or a union with others to harm someone. In other words, if you're in a group, it's just, I'm going to use a church as an example. You can use a business or a family or anything. But in a church, you can have somebody that doesn't like the preacher or doesn't like this person. And this person, I'm sure, does something wrong or whatever. And you go over and say, I think we need to take this to the elders, the pastor, so-and-so. I don't think this is right. And he's doing it. And you talk two or three more into going with you. Well, let's go to the elders. Can you see where that forming that union could be a potential place for evil to take place? We got to be careful who we join ourselves with in any situation. You can say, well, like, yeah, I'm over here with them, but I'm not part of it. It doesn't work that way. If you're part of them, it looks like you're agreeing with what that is. I'm going to show you why that's important. Sin is something an individual does wrong, and evil is being part of a system of sin, premeditated, which causes destruction. I'm broadening the definition a little bit more. I hope you can see that. Sin is something an individual does wrong, and evil is being part of a system of sin premeditated, which causes destruction. I'm going to use the obvious again, abortion. That's the reason we know abortion is evil. It's an easy one. But then when you join a force that does this evil, you're part of that. You're evil too. Somebody's thinking, I can hear you now. You talking about the election? I didn't say that. The Holy Ghost might have said it to you. I don't take a bit of credit for that, but it's the truth. I don't care who it is. Now let's watch it. I hope I didn't hang up on God right there. Now let's watch this one. This is where we get the idea of conspiracy. And I want to jump in this one. Trevor hit on it just a little here last Sunday. And I said to him, I said, Trevor, please don't say something about conspiracy that I'm going to have to disagree with. He didn't. He didn't say words I have to disagree with. This is where we get the idea of conspiracy. Now, conspiracy, I want you to watch this. When you enter an alliance and the purpose of that alliance is to injure others, then that becomes evil. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, that's where we get the terms conspiracy from. When you think, you hear the term all the time, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, I object to that, but what happens is it's saying you're getting together with a group of bad, evil people if you believe in conspiracy. That word was created actually by the CIA so it would bring shade on people who were thinking, but that's another story. But that is what happens with conspiracy. Sin is what destroys you. Evil is what you do when you join with somebody else to cause harm to someone. Sin injures you while evil injures someone else. And by the end of this message, you're going to say, Alan, would you shut up? I've already heard it. I'm going to say it through the whole message. Put on your seatbelt. What is a conspiracy? Now, watch how this thing works, if you will. It's a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful. That's what conspiracy is. Now, I submit to you for a test that a conspiracy is when we come together to harm someone else. Christians should never harm someone else. It's just off limits. But you got a secret plan to do something that's harmful or even unlawful. When you come together, you're doing the works of evil. Well, I thought evils was devil worship. It's a lot slicker than that. There's obvious evil, and then there's evil that infiltrates the church, and that's what we're approaching. The action of plotting or conspiring, as what legally a conspiracy exists when two or more persons join together and form an agreement to violate the law and then act on that agreement. Can you see that? Matthew 12:14, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. It's called a conspiracy, right? He had people that were meaning harm against Christ. Obviously, that's a conspiracy. Now, as Christians, we got to get it in our brains that we're here to help and restore, not to cause people harm. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care who it is. I mean, really, we're not being given permission. We're not called to hurt anybody. Now, you need to get that in your brain. Because when we don't do that, we start demonizing people. There's just a little deprogramming that the enemy has programmed us in a way to cause us to legitimize evil behavior. Was that too plain? Okay. This is in Genesis. They saw him afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against to kill him. Does anybody know who that is? Joseph, yeah. Since they saw him far off, but his brothers conspired to kill him. Was that evil? Yes, that was evil. I'm going to maybe jump in a little deeper on that one. 2 Samuel, a messenger soon arrived in Jerusalem to tell David, all Israel has joined Absalom in a conspiracy against you. You know the story of Absalom. So was Absalom doing evil? Yes, he was doing evil because he had conspired to kill his father. Psalms 2:1. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? That's David in the psalm. No Christian should ever want to injure anybody. And that one is the Lord, as I was doing a lot of the research and stuff, it was like, oh my goodness, I had to repent. Let me say this, I'm still repenting because I got some people I was wanting to hurt. Is that too revealing? I'm glad I'm the only one in the room. I am so happy. I thought we were in trouble. I wasn't worried about me because I knew I could repent. I wasn't sure about you. But it's amazing to me how in my opposition against those that I believe are against God and His Word, how I've gotten to a point, if some of them got hurt, I wouldn't feel too bad because I'd feel, well, they deserved it. That's evil. At no time should a Christian ever join a movement or a conspiracy that would cause evil to fall upon a person. Evil is worse than just sin. Evil is a state in which a person is operating and usually finds its roots in idolatry, while wickedness is the manifestation or the practice of evil. Once you start practicing a little bit of evil, you are going to fall to wickedness. It's not just we don't need to misbehave. It's the evil's enticing us when the enemy entices us to do just a little bit of evil. What we don't realize is that we're falling to evilness. There's nothing you can withdraw out of evilness that's good and you need it. There's not anything. What the evil, this little dab of evilness will do, it's an inroad in which it comes into me that causes me to do some wicked things that I would not normally do. Now, does anybody remember the story of Sanballat and Tobiah? They gave an evil report on the building of the wall. You remember that in Scripture? I'm just using it to cite the story. It's in Nehemiah chapter 6. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have a matter for a what? An evil report that they might reproach me. An evil report. So here we see that people were talking. The Bible called it, and their response was an evil report, even to the point it had a prophecy with it. Prophecy means you're declaring something. So I could declare something, and the Bible, and it be an evil report. And the purpose was so that Nehemiah would come off the wall, that the building would cease. It was stopping. In other words, an evil report will stop, or the goal of an evil report is to stop the work of the Lord. I'm going to show you here in a minute, if you don't run me out, I'm going to show you here in a minute, hopefully, that it's safer to follow who's being accused than it is the accuser. It's Bible. Usually the accuser the ones that that's accused. Now, I didn't say the one that was accused maybe didn't have a time of sin. The way this thing works is you carry an evil report about somebody's sin, trying to make them out to be evil when your report is more evil than their sin. Does anybody get what I just said? I'm not very good at saying it, so I hope you got it. Your report on somebody can be evil, but you're reporting on their sin. But your report's more evil than their sin. In other words, if somebody committed adultery, you go around telling everybody is a bad report, and that bad report can be evil, and it's a greater sin than their adultery. Now, something that I said there was right. I'm not saying I said it just right, but something about it was right. I hope you caught it. Now, the point here is the evil report. Nehemiah might have done something wrong. I don't know. None of us know. For them to give an evil report. See, let's say Nehemiah did something wrong, they knew it, and he's coming up with an evil report. Would you rather follow those accusers, or would you rather follow Nehemiah? But Nehemiah's one maybe that sinned, but the report was evil. Come on, y'all. We got so many evil reports flying. See, I have this thing about all these podcasters. We have these fallen leaders. Then these podcasters make them the topic of their next podcast. Oh, well, I knew they were in sin. They were falling. I'm like, I sent a message to one of them. I said, your report is evil, and you're reporting on that man's sin. You're in worse shape than the one that sinned. They didn't like it. I'll tell you that. I need to hush. I'm telling y'all too much of my... Okay, here we go. Here we see that Sanballat and Tobiah had joined together to destroy the work of the Lord. The Bible called this an evil report. You've got to make note that we don't want to be guilty of evil reports. And it can be the truth. Well, what makes it evil, Alan? It's the truth. Because you wish them harm by telling it. Can y'all go here this deep with me? And I'm telling the truth. We've got to learn how to discern the difference between sin and evil. See, what the enemy's tried to do is to mix them together that you can't tell the difference. Evil's worse than sin. Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't eat with evil people. That's right. Now, what I'm telling you is a big truth, tested by the Spirit. But I'm telling you a big truth. It'll help you if you'll test it. Now, Joseph was hated and rejected by his brothers. You remember the story. Genesis 37:8. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him, yet the more for his dreams and for his words. His brothers hated him. Say it with me, that's sin. All right, they're just sinning at this point. Okay? Now, Joseph's brothers were in sin. And when they saw him afar off, in other words, Joseph didn't go with his brothers. His brothers went, Joseph went on after them, and they saw him coming in Chetham or somewhere. They saw him coming, and they saw him afar off. They said, oh, here he comes. Even before he came near unto them, they conspired against to slay him. Say it with me, that's evil. So they sinned, then it grew, it moved on into evil. Now, here we see Joseph's brothers committing evil. Sin is against yourself, but evil is committed against others. I said it for the 10th time, if anybody's counting, right there. Not that we're counting. Now watch this one. David's confession of his sin. And we know the story well, right? Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judge. David slept with Bathsheba, committed adultery. Say it with me, that's sin. But David had a conspiracy to kill Bathsheba's husband. Say it with me, that's evil. All right, now watch it here. What was the sin? Adultery, sin of passion. You can have sin of passion in a moment or whatever. You know, that's the sin of the flesh. You can say, Alan, is that not the word? We always talk about his adultery. That ain't the biggie. The biggie is murder. That was the big one. He said, look what David said. I have sinned and what? So see, the scriptures here make a distinction. He said, I have sinned and I have done this evil. The scriptures makes a distinction there. What was the evil? He created a conspiracy to kill Bathsheba's husband, and that is evil of murder. Here we see that the evil is worse than the sin. A planned conspiracy is gossip in the Bible. So therefore, gossip is worse than adultery.
Oh.
I sort of slipped that in there. Did you get it? That's the evil report. That's the evil report. As Christians and as believers, we have been hoodwinked that we can carry on gossip because it's true. But the only reason I'm telling it so I'll harm somebody. But we think because it's true, it's my job to tell truth. We've been hoodwinked. Now watch this one. So evil is when you plan to hurt somebody. This plan is called gossip. Now, I'm going to go hit this one quickly. Wow, yo, I'm out of time. Evil against the brethren. Acts 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds what? Evil affected against the what? So you mean to tell me that it's the goal of the enemy to stir us up against each other? I think he likes that. And not only that, I can join him and help him pull it off. I'm not very tolerant when it comes to some things, but I'll be honest with you. As Christians and the difference in our theological doctrine, we need to be a little more tolerant. Listen, the Christian world's not that big the way it is. Let me show you something else here, and I'll show you where I get that. Now, I'm going to throw something. Now, don't fall off the truck right here. Good draws evil. I'm going to share a little insight with you here. You test it. But good draws evil. When a great leader or somebody fails to sin, only thing I can tell you, he's done a lot of good because it drew that evil against him. He failed and sinned. But just because he sinned doesn't mean he done evil, but he sinned. Then all of a sudden, all the evil reports come on the scene. 95% of them aren't even true. It's just the way this thing works. It conjures up all of this stuff. But here's my point that I'm trying to interject something here. Don't go way out here. I'm just trying to... What I'm trying to share with you is this idea. Good draws evil. The enemy can't allow true goodness to go on. So he sends everything he can to destroy these leaders that everybody said, well, I always knew they were like that. No, they weren't. You just hadn't done enough good to get it to draw a little evil. Listen, there's a difference in being Christian and doing Christian. Being never done nothing. Now, you got to be before you can do. I understand that. But just because you're being a Christian don't mean you're doing Christian. Now, that means something. I'm not really sure yet what. The point is, those that are doing good will draw evil. Well, Alan, I thought everybody would like it and they'd draw good. No, it's not the way it works. Whoever's doing goodness is the target of evil. Now, we're not to fear it. You don't fear it. That's the reason I say, somebody that I know this, that's how it works, and that's the reason you can have a fallen leader. Well, the next place I'm at is in their doorstep. And I'll tell you why. Because I know their goodness is what drove their sin. They failed. I'm like, dadgummit, how many good leaders are we going to lose? But the trouble is, the brethren will create an evil report against the fallen leader that sinned. And bless Pat, the evil report's worse than the sin they committed. Somebody say, we're in a tight spot. We're in a tight spot. We've got to discern what's going on. Everywhere there's a fallen leader, I'm the one to be the first ones there if they'll let me in the door. You know why? I want to restore them. Have people all the time tell me, Alan, you can't. No, they need to stay out 5 or 10 years. I've never seen a 5 or 10 year cross of Christ. It happens in seconds if you repent. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? What I want you to consider, you don't have to swallow it. I want you to consider that good will draw evil. I'll even put it in a secular terms. If you have some great football player, and he's the best quarterback that's been known to man, and he's good at it. He knows the game, and he plays it well, and he's the best one out there. Who does everybody want to tear down? That best player. He's the best one. Well, everybody wants to tear him down. They don't want to tear down one that's not doing nothing. If you're out here at the kingdom of God and you're doing a lot of goodness, evil's going to come at you because it's got to tear you down. We are to expect it. So if somebody falls, it's okay, let's go pick them up, get them dressed to this, repent. Somebody like me, I come along, kick you in the hind end, repent. Come on now, repent. They will because they're so embarrassed and destroyed anyway and humiliated. It ain't nothing to repent, you know. But why? It's because they've done a good work, and I know it. That's the reason they talk about that wrote that God's generals or wrote the book and all these generals, how they fail. I'm like, yeah. And they try to discount all the good they did. No. They say, well, nobody finishes well. Yeah. It's because the enemy is going to try to destroy you. All of these great preachers, it's a lot of them have fallen, and we don't have enough sense to see. And there again, that's the reason I say I heard, did anybody ever remember Kay Arthur? I said under a lot of her Bible teachings, and she was telling this story of this lady that was in her Bible study, and she's talking about David and Bathsheba, and she said, well, I can't see how David failed. He shouldn't have done that and all that. And Kay looked over at her, and he says, you know, she's talking about Bathsheba. She said, I can't see, Bathsheba, she failed. She shouldn't ever do that. And Kay Arthur looked at her, and she said this on the teaching. She said, well, it's obvious you've never run into your David. That's what she said. Did anybody get what she said? This point well taken. Listen, in the body of Christ, we've got to have a lot of mercy for each other. Those that's doing the greater good getting the greater attack of evil coming against them. And pray tell, let's at least don't be part of the evil crowd. Come on, somebody. All right, here we go. Good draws evil. Made their minds evil effect. Jesus said to pray like this. Now watch this. After this manner, therefore pray ye, O Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or our sins as we forget our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? Deliver us from evil. There's a distinction there in sin and evil. It's a huge problem when God's children participate in evil. You can say, well, I'm doing good. I'm not sinning. I'm a do-good Jesus follower. I'm a be-good Jesus follower. But it's the do-goers, the ones who do the work, those who do live the Christian life. If you've never been troubled, you might just be being a whole lot more than you're doing is all I got to say. Now, you got to make this distinction here of sin and evil. All right? Well, I'm going to have to stop. Pastor, can I finish next week? Or I can just leave them hanging. I don't know. I hate to leave
me hanging.
I hate to leave everybody hanging out here. I hate to go too long on people here. Think I need, okay, that's what I need. I need a little guidance here. Don't need to rush through it. Well, I'm getting ready to rush up my ending now. Maybe I shouldn't. If we come back next week and it doesn't last but 30 minutes, are y'all okay with that? Now, I've never done that in my life. But it's just the thought. All right, I'm going to stop there for today. Now, listen, I hope, please test what I'm saying. My job this morning, if I had one, was to help us in our discernment of what we're doing, how we're analyzing things. And we got to decide whose team are we really on. Are we on God's and the restoration? Or are we trying to play judge on everybody's sin? Are you with me? Well, listen, we all need grace and mercy. We all need it. And God puts people out here, a lot of these leaders and stuff, and some of them, God's used me a little bit to at least be an aggravation to them, but the Lord will make it where I'll go in and talk with these leaders. So God's got people to do that. Everybody don't have to do it. See what I'm saying? Everybody's freed up a little bit. But we can pray for each other. We can restore each other. We can do what we're good at. And this is true for Democrat, for Republican, unaffiliated. I'm sorry, I missed. But if you can hear what I'm saying, we're having a division in our country that shouldn't be happening. We are taking hook, line, and sinker the bait of the evil one. Now listen, Satan has no anointing, so he has to trick the people of God and use our anointing for his bidding. That's what I say. Let's stop right there and we'll pick up next week. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, I stepped out on a limb, and I was thinking it's for you, and I hope and pray that it is. And Lord, I ask and pray, I try to hit a topic that's hard to teach, it's hard to translate. But Lord, I'm trusting that your Holy Spirit has spoken to the hearts of those that are listening. I pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit has given revelation, and I pray that these people will be Bereans, as the Bible says. And they'll study out these things that I've said to see if they're true or not. But if they're true, oh God, I pray that this congregation, those listening, I pray that we'll be sharp, we'll be sharper, we'll not fall to the evil schemes of the devil. I pray that, God, that will free us up to be agents of your Holy Ghost in supernatural power, in love and peace. Lord, let us stand, let us stand, let us not affiliate with evil. And Lord, I pray for this week in the election and for everybody here. Lord Jesus, I pray for our country. Forgive us, O God, where we've been part of evil. Help us, O God, to when we do vote, that we will vote in a way that you would be pleased with. Help us, O God, not to see each other as enemies. Lord, your word says to overcome evil with good. And dear God, I ask and pray for the goodness of God to come all over this group of people, those that are listening online. I pray we'll be baptized in the goodness of God, that we might truly be a people that's not a part of any evil, but we are part of the kingdom in which you have sent to heal, to bring peace. Lord, forgive me in my fallen nature. Forgive me for when I wanted to hurt people. I repent and ask for your forgiveness. And teach me your ways, O God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen.